You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all-knowledgeable, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is, what do you want me to do for you? My scripture comes from Mark 10, 46 through 52, which states, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. My text is Mark 10:51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Mark tells us that Jesus is followed by a big crowd from Jericho. Jericho was known as the city of palm trees. This was the place where travelers often stopped to refresh themselves. In the midst of this crowd of people was blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He was sitting by the highway begging. Those who, by the providence of God, are disabled to get a livelihood by their own labor and have not any other way of subsisting are the most proper objects of charity, and particular care ought to be taken of them. In the midst of this crowded noise, Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. Evidently, he had heard of Jesus. He cried out for Jesus to have mercy on him. He was trying to get the attention of Jesus. He cried out to the Lord Jesus for mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Misery is the object of mercy. His own miserable case he recommends to the compassion of the son of David, of whom it was foretold that when he should come to save us, the eyes of the blind should be opened. Isaiah 35:5. In coming to Christ for help and healing, we should have an eye to him as the promised Messiah, the trustee of mercy and grace. Others who could see tried to get Bartimaeus to be quiet. People that often have tell those that do not have what they do not need. Excuse me. People with big salaries often tell people with low wages, you do not need to raise the minimum wage. Those that could see were telling the blind man to be quiet. He cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus did not have much tact, but he did have persistence and determination. People tried to shut him up, but they could not, because he really wanted a touch from Jesus. The persistent and energetic prayer of Bartimaeus is a good example of prayer. He was not discouraged because no one led him to Jesus. Those who told him to stay away did not discourage him. Take the gates of heaven and shake them with thy forceful energy, as though thou wouldst pull them up post by post and bar and all. Stand at mercy's door and take no denial. Knock and knock and knock again, as though thou wouldst shake the very spheres of what thou wouldst obtain an answer to thy cries. Draw thy bow with thy full strength, if thou wouldst send thy arrow up so high as heaven. Have mercy on me. The blind man knew what he needed from Jesus. Mercy. He did not come thinking that God owed him, and he wanted all he wanted from Jesus was mercy. Christ encouraged him to hope when he should find mercy, for he stood still and commanded him to be calm. We must never reckon it a hindrance to us in our way to stand still when it is to do a good work. Those about him who had discouraged him at first perhaps were now the persons that signified to him the gracious call of Christ. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calls thee. And if he calls thee, he will cure thee. The gracious invitations Christ gives us to come to him are great encouragements to our hope, that we should speed well if we come to him and shall have what we come for. Let the guilty, the empty, the tempted, the hungry, the naked, be of good comfort, for he calls them to be pardoned, to be supplied, to be relieved, to be filled, to be clothed, to have all that done for them which their case calls for. The poor man hereupon made the best of his way to Christ, to cast away his loose upper garment, and came to Jesus. Mark 10:50. He cast away everything that might be in danger of throwing him down, or might in any way hinder him in coming to Christ, or retard his motion. Those who will come to Jesus must free themselves from every weight and the sin that doth most easily beset them. After a summer rest, bird flew his back. Bird flew is spreading again as waterfowl migrate. In poultry, cases are spiking earlier than expected. So some state officials are bracing for a challenging autumn. October 9, 2025 by Evan Bush, NBC. It was a quiet summer for bird flu. Egg prices fell a bit. Fewer sick poultry flocks were selected on farms, and officials took a breath. It was lovely, says Sonia Boss, the assistant director of the Minnesota Board of Animal Health. But it didn't last. Bird flu is spreading again, now that the wild waterfowl, geese, ducks, and cranes have begun their seasonal migrations. As the birds travel, they migrate at lakes and ponds and share viruses. In poultry, bird flu cases are spiking earlier than expected. More than 4 million poultry birds have been selected in the last month in states including Minnesota and Iowa, after members of their flock tested positive for the virus called H5N1. The trend corresponds to a spike in infections detected among wild birds in northern states. Some state officials are bracing for a challenging autumn, which is when cases have typically spiked in past years. Last week, we had our first confirmed positive, our agricultural secretary, Mike Negg, said. The case was on a turkey farm in Calhoun County. The question for us then is, how extensive will it be, and what kind of fall will we have? It's too early to say what effect the outbreaks will have on egg prices, he added. The only honest answer to that is we have to see, Nag said. This is the fourth fall in which bird flu infections have risen, a sign the virus is becoming epidemic in wild birds and could be a continual threat to poultry. It's not going anywhere away. It seems pretty embedded, Vaught said. The more the virus circulates, there is a risk it will unlock a way to readily infect humans. For now, though, the health risk to people remains low. As fall progresses, official wildlife experts and virologists are in a watch and wait mode. It is an interesting time, said Declan Schroeder, an associate professor of virology at the University of Minnesota's College of Veterinary Medicine. Everyone is waiting with restrained breath to see what's going to happen. Avian influenza was first detected in a U.S. commercial flock in February 2022 after circulating in wild birds before then. The virus is almost always deadly for poultry birds, and as of this summer, more than 175 million birds have been selected or killed. 2 years ago, researchers were surprised to discover that bird flu had spread to dairy cows and was found in raw, unpasteurized milk, prompting a slew of changes to farm practices and milk testing. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to the Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Our topic for today is teamwork. It is written that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4th chapter, verse 9. Effective teamwork is essential in building businesses and relationships. When individuals work together, they can double their strength and get more done as a team. They also reap the value of creating harmony by working in unison. One of the key components of a great team is providing direction that engages and inspires its members. Compelling direction combined with positive dynamics, supportive context, information networks, and a shared mindset enable businesses to perform strategic tasks and take on new challenges. However, sometimes the Tates want to disrupt the process of achieving the team's goals and objectives. First, there's Dick Tate, who wants to run everything. Rotate tries to change your mind. Agitate stirs up trouble whenever possible. And irritate gets on your last nerve. Whenever new ideas are recommended, hesitate and vegetate, pour cold water on them. Imitate tries to mimic everyone. Devastate loves to be disruptive, and potentate wants to be the big shot. But it's facilitate, cogitate, and meditate who save the day and get everyone working together. A one-man show doesn't get very far. By God's design, all who are in Christ have been made dependent on one another. We may think we can do it on our own, but we can't. We can't fulfill our high calling as members of the body of Christ until we realize that we all have a vital part to play. We are family, and we need to work together to achieve God's will for his glory. Remember, teamwork.